Blog Talk Radio. In the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus our Christ, good God day to all of you. This is the day that our Lord has made, and we will rejoice on purpose and be glad in it, no matter what. Why? Because our Lord is good, and his mercy is new every morning, and it is from everlasting to everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations. This is Minister Renee Ellis, also known as The Little One, and I would like to welcome everyone to today's broadcast on Blog Talk Radio, live from HNLC Studios. I give all honor and all praise and all glory and all worship and adoration and homage to the head of my life and my everything, my Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. I give recognition and respect to my sponsors and the founders of Harvest New Life Church International, Apostle Charles E. Ellis and Pastor Patty Ellis of Plano, Texas. I thank God for them allowing me to be a part of the HNLC Studios broadcasting team, all for the glory and honor of God. You can listen at your leisure to my podcast called Food for Thought any time of the day on Apple Podcasts, Spreaker, Spotify, Breaker, iHeartRadio, Odyssey, which used to be radio.com, and many other podcast platforms where we study the Word of God together. All you have to do is type in The Little One, Food for Thought, and the podcast should come up. We're going to give everybody an opportunity to get their study tools, Bibles, notebooks, pens and paper, everything that we use when we get together to study the Word on Tuesdays and Thursdays, and we'll be right back with a word of prayer and get right into our study. Amen. I trust everyone has had an opportunity to get their Bibles and notebooks and pens and paper, all of the things that we use to study the Word of God with on Tuesdays and Thursdays when we come together at this time. Truly, God is so good, and he is worthy to be praised. This broadcast belongs to him, and everything that we do in this day, on this day, should be through him, in him, of him, and for him. And who is the him I am talking about? Our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Redeemer, Deliverer, King of all kings, Lord of all lords, the precious Lamb of God, Savior, Friend, Brother, our beloved. Amen. Let us go before the throne of grace with a word of prayer. Father God, in the mighty name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you for this time and this moment, this opportunity that you have given unto us on this day. Thank you for the day that you have given us and waking us up to be able to see it, O God. Thank you for this gift that you have given unto us, your Zoe, your life, your breath, your strength. But we can't do anything apart from you, O God. It is in you that we live, and it is in you that we move, Lord Jesus. And it is in you that we have our very being. The scripture says, Lord, you created everything for yourself. And you came to the world so that all might be saved. Lord, thank you for your loving kindness, your tender mercy, your grace, and your eternal goodness that is and has been demonstrated in our lives since our birth, all the way up until this moment. You are wonderful and you are excellent. And beside you, there is no other. Lord, we ask that you hide us all behind the cross on this day so that it is all of you and none of us. And Holy Spirit, we welcome your presence, for you are the teacher, and we ask that you move by your Spirit. Thank you, Lord, for giving the listening audience, preparing their hearts, oh God, to hear the word of God on this day. Thank you for preparing all of our hearts. Thank you for giving us ears to hear and eyes to see and opening up the ears and eyes of our spiritual understanding so that we may behold and gaze upon your beauty, O Lord, in the scriptures. Holy Spirit, I ask that you put your words on my tongue and on my lips, that which you will have me to deliver unto your people. Look on them, O God. You know the petitions and prayers of their hearts. You know their needs, O God. And you know each and every individual on this planet, all around the world, one by one and name by name. And Lord, we ask that you move on their behalf. Bless, heal, deliver, save. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Hallelujah. Take me past the outer courts into your holy place, past the brazen altar. Lord, I want to see your face. Pass me by the crowds of people, a priest to sing your praise. I hunger and thirst for your righteousness, and it's only found one place. Take me in to the Holy of Holies. Take me in by the blood of the Lamb. Take me in to the Holy of Holies. Take the coal, cleanse my lips. Here I am. The last study session we were in, I believe was last Thursday, and we left off in Psalm 27, verse 4. And we have been spending some time in Psalm 27 because the Holy Spirit wanted to remind us of some things. And this particular passage, the 27th division of Psalm, you know, David was flesh and blood just like the rest of us. And yes, he was a great king. He was great, but he was still human. He, you know, went through things and emotions and things that we all go through now, some of us. all of us, really all of us, at one point in time or another. And Psalm 27 is really a psalm that maybe David could have been dealing with some anxiety. And he was reminding himself of who he served. But we left off in verse 4 of Psalm 27, and I will be reading from the Amplified Classic Edition. And all of us can follow along in our translations as we always do. And for those of you who missed the past three sessions or so, you can access those by going into your search bar and typing in Blog Talk Radio. And when you get to the site, you can type in the letters HNLC, and it will bring you to the past sessions that we've had. But in my studies and meditation of Psalm 27, verses 4 and 5, let's read it. Let's read verse 4. It says, "One thing have I asked of the Lord, that will I seek, inquire for, and insistently require, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord in his presence all the days of my life, to behold and gaze upon the beauty and the sweet attractiveness and the delightful loveliness of the Lord, and to meditate, consider, and inquire in his temple." Verse 5 says, "For in the day of trouble, he will hide me in his shelter. In the secret place of his tent will he hide me. He will set me high upon a rock." So I was meditating and preparing for today's study session, and I asked the Lord, I said, "Lord, I said, where is the secret place? Where is the secret place of the tent?" He said, "I am the secret place." I said, "Okay, Lord." He said, "Jesus is not only the high priest." He said, "I am not only the high priest, I am the veil." I said, "Okay, now," and when he told me that, I started thinking about the Old Testament. And I started to, and we'll probably spend some time with this for a little bit, but I started thinking about the temple in or the tabernacle in the Old Testament. And I was looking at how the love of God prepared man for divine relationship, restoration, and salvation, the construction of the tabernacle. And so I started thinking, I said, okay, now, if you are going to, as verse 5 says, "For in the day of trouble, he will hide me in his shelter. In the secret place of his tent will he hide me." Well, in the tabernacle, the secret place was the Holy of Holies. And the Holy of Holies, in my studies and in things that I have been taught, the Holy of Holies had what was called a veil in front of it. And the only person that was allowed to pass through that veil into the Holy of Holies was the high priest, and he could only do it once a year to atone for the sins of the people. So I began to research, and I went into, I looked up the word temple, because that's what David asked for in the previous verse. "One thing have I asked of the Lord, that will I seek, inquire for, and insistently require, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord in his presence all the days of my life, to behold and gaze upon the beauty, the sweet attractiveness, and delightful loveliness of the Lord, and to meditate, consider, and inquire in his temple." So what is a temple? A temple is a building or a place for worship. A building devoted to worship, regarding or regarded as a sacred dwelling place, temple. Okay. Then I began to look up the word secret. What does the word secret mean? A secret is a place, a secret place is a place that is not known or seen, or not meant to be known or seen by others. Something that is kept or meant to be kept unknown or unseen by others. And if we go back to Psalm 27, verse 5, it says, in the secret place of his tent will he hide me. So in the place that is not known or seen or not meant to be known or seen by others is where he's going to hide me. And then I began to look up the word veil. What is a veil? What is the veil? Because Jesus said, I am the veil. I said, okay, so what is the veil? A veil is a thing that serves to cover, conceal, or disguise. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no man can come into the Father except by or through me. Now, when Jesus gave up his life on the cross, the veil of the temple was ripped from top to bottom, which symbolized deity coming down and dwelling with humanity. The ultimate tabernacle. Let's go to Matthew 27, and let's look at verses 48 through 53. It says, let's look at verses 50 through 53. It says, and Jesus cried again with a loud voice and gave up his spirit. And at once the curtain of the sanctuary of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. The earth shook and the tombs were open, and many bodies of the saints who had fallen asleep in death were raised to life. And coming out of the tombs after his resurrection, they went into the holy city and appeared to many people. Powerful. The veil was constructed and woven on white linen, but there were specific colors that God wanted the veil to be made or woven by. And the temple or the tabernacle was God's way foreshadowing the salvation, dwelling, and relationship between him and his people, his man. In Exodus 25, verses 8 through 22, it says, let them make me a sanctuary, that I may dwell among them. And you shall make it according to all that I shall show you, the pattern of the tabernacle or dwelling, and the pattern of all the furniture of it. They shall make an ark of acacia wood, 2.5 cubits long, 1.5 cubits wide, and 1.5 cubits high. You shall overlay the ark with pure gold, inside and out, and make a gold crown, a rim or border around its top. You shall cast 4 gold rings and attach them to the 4 corners of it, 2 rings on either side. You shall make poles of acacia wood and overlay them with gold. These are all of his instructions that he's giving to his priests. But if we go down to verse 22, it says, God says, there I will meet with you. And from above the mercy seat, from between the 2 cherubim that are upon the ark of the testimony, I will speak intimately with you of all which I give you in commandment to the Israelites. God spoke intimately from the mercy seat. Now, the veil, which is found in Exodus, let's see. Yes, Exodus 26, I believe, are the instructions for the veil. It says, and make a veil of blue, purple, and scarlet stuff, and fine twined linen, skillfully worked with cherubim on it. And you shall hang it on the 4 pillars of the acacia wood overlaid with gold hooks on 4 sockets of silver. And you shall hang the veil from the clasps and bring the ark of the testimony into the place within the veil. And the veil shall separate for you the holy place from the most holy place. And you shall put the mercy seat on the ark of the testimony in the most holy place. So I began to look up and study about those colors, blue, purple, and scarlet. I said, Lord, you know, why blue? Why is that? Well, let's go to Exodus 24, and let's look at verses 9 and 10. It says, then Moses, Aaron, Nadab, and Abihu, and 70 of the elders of Israel went up the mountainside, and they saw the God of Israel. That is a convincing manifestation of his presence. And under his feet, it was like pavement of bright sapphire stone, like the very heavens in clearness. In my studies, I learned that blue is the color of heaven, representing deity or the eternal, God's things, eternal things. You can also find further scriptures on that in your personal study. I also learned that gold symbolized the glory of Jesus and his heavenliness, and purple is the combination of blue and scarlet. But God has a specific reason why he puts things in his word. And everything that is written in the word of God was put there deliberately, on purpose, and in specific order for a reason for us, because he loved us so much. Purple is the combination of blue and scarlet. Now, purple is the color of wealth, royalty, power, and it's very rare to obtain. And, you know, if we go to Daniel, and if we look at Daniel chapter 5, verse 29, it says, then Belshazzar, forgive me on the pronunciation of that, commanded, and Daniel was clothed with purple and a chain of gold put about his neck, and a proclamation was made concerning him that he should be the third ruler in the kingdom. Well, I also learned that purple, if we're looking at it in scientific terms, from the realm of the scientific, in the spectrum of light, purple is the top. It's at the top of the visible light spectrum. It contains the highest frequency of light. That interested me. And then, of course, scarlet is the color of man or blood. Now, all of these are colors that were woven into the veil. And Jesus, remember, Jesus told me, I told him, he told me, he said, I am the veil. I said, okay. So I began to research and look at this. Blue, symbolizing deity, okay, Son of God. Red, scarlet, symbolizing man, blood, human form, flesh and blood, Son of Man. Purple, representing royalty, wealth, power, his all-time title of King of Kings and Lord of Lords, creating a royal priesthood. White linen that these threads were woven on symbolized his righteousness and purity. If we go to, let's see, 1 John 2, verses 1 and 2. It says here, my little children, I write you these things so that you may not violate God's law and sin. But if anyone should sin, we have an advocate, one who will intercede for us with the Father. It is Jesus Christ, the all-righteous, upright, just, who conforms to the Father's will in every purpose, thought, and action. And he, that same Jesus himself, is the propitiation, the atoning sacrifice for our sins, and not for ours alone, but also for the sins of the whole world. if we go over to 1 Peter and look at verses 18 and 19, and I'm going somewhere with this. It says, you must know and recognize that you were redeemed, ransomed from the useless, fruitless way of living, inherited by tradition from your forefathers, not with corruptible things such as silver and gold, because those things are earthly. If you were redeemed by earthly things, then man would have a right to boast about salvation. We do not have a right to boast. Verse 19 says, but you were purchased with the precious blood of Christ, the Messiah, like that of a sacrificial lamb without blemish or spot. So I said, okay, Lord, you're the veil. What does that mean? He took me over to, and I was studying with my mom. And, you know, she was talking to me about how when the Lord tells you things, and this is a good rule of thumb for everyone, and all of the messengers of God say this to the church and those who are in the kingdom of God. Whenever God speaks to you, and whenever he gives you something to do, you must search it out in the scriptures. Because what he will tell you will line up in his word. Because he's not a God that he should lie. Neither is he the Son of Man that he should repent. But whatever instructions he gives to you, and whatever the Holy Spirit tells you and explains to you and shows you in visions, dreams, words that he speaks to you, we must go to the word and search it out. We must go to the word and search it out to make sure that it is of God. Because God will not speak anything that is contrary to his word. So, the red, as we were explaining, as we talked about, the color of man or flesh and blood, which is the part of Jesus, which makes him the Son of Man. If we go over to Isaiah chapter 1 and look at verse 18, it says, come now and let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they shall be like wool. As I begin to think about the veil, that was constructed before Jesus came on the scene. And yet, the tabernacle, the temple, the symbol of mankind's salvation and relationship with Almighty God, him coming down from where he is to dwell with his man. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 through 30, he said, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden. And not just those who labor and are heavy laden, but all those who labor and are heavy laden and overburdened. Under so much pressure, just bearing the weight of things in your mind, in your emotions, mentally, emotionally, even physically, balancing your life and all of these things, and especially spiritually. You know, we all, at one point in time, were whosoever's, those of us who are a part of the body of Christ, and those of us who are contemplating coming into the family of God and becoming the body, becoming part of the body of Christ today. You are so welcome. We welcome you. Because a lot of you may have tuned into this podcast or broadcast thinking, you know, by curiosity, well, let me hear what is being said. I just want to know. It was God that led you here. It's not a mistake. He's trying to show you his love. He thought about us before Jesus even showed up. He thought about and made provision for the plan of salvation in the veil that concealed the Holy of Holies. So intricate God is. And he cares about each and every one of us. And he's so mindful of our lives, down to the smallest microscopic nano detail. And he hears us when we pray. I began to ask the Lord, I said, okay, Lord, you know, you said you were the veil. I see that. I see the blue representing your deity. I see the red representing how you were human and you shed your blood on the cross. I see the purple representing you as King of all kings, Lord of all lords, that Abba put in place before you even got here. I see how the veil ripped from top to bottom when you gave up your life in the temple, because you are the veil which tore from top to bottom, symbolizing deity coming into of man, our flesh house. But as I was studying with my mom, because I Minister Ruth, you know, she told me, she said, make sure what God tells you, you always find in the Word. And the next day, because I had told her as soon as the Holy Spirit told me about that, and the next day we were in the Word of God, and she took me over to Exodus chapter 40 and verse 3. And it says, and you shall put in it the Ark of the Testimony, and screen the Ark of God's presence with the veil. And in my reading, there is a scripture reference at the end of that verse, which took me to Hebrews chapter 10, verses 19 through 23. And verse 19, beginning at the 19th verse, it says, Hebrews 10, verses 19 through 23 reads, it says, therefore, brethren, since we have full freedom and confidence to enter into the Holy of Holies by the power and virtue in the blood of Jesus, by this fresh, new, and living way, which he initiated and dedicated and open for us through the separating curtain, veil of the Holy of Holies, that is through his flesh. Verse 21, and since we have such a great and wonderful and noble priest who rules over the house of God, let us all come forward and draw near with true, honest, and sincere hearts in unqualified assurance and absolute conviction engendered by faith, by that leaning of the entire human personality on God. Absolute trust and confidence in his power, wisdom, and goodness. Having our hearts sprinkled and purified from a guilty, evil conscience, and our bodies cleansed with pure water. So let us seize and hold fast and retain without wavering the hope we cherish and confess and our acknowledgement of it. For he who promised is reliable. He is sure and faithful to his word. In the Old Testament, the only one allowed in the temple to go into the Holy of Holies was the high priest himself, by himself. No one else was allowed in there. And no one else could serve in the temple except the priests. But Jesus the Christ, who concealed the Holy of Holies, who proclaimed that I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man can come unto the Father except by me. He gave up his life to create a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, Scripture says. In Revelation 1 and 6, it says, and formed us into a kingdom, a royal race, priests to his God and Father. Jesus did this for us. He took what was otherwise looked at as nothing, detestable, unworthy, dirty, profane, and through his blood made us righteous. All those who come to name the name of Christ and believe on him. And it's simple. He just wants you to invite him in. And becoming a Christian is not easy. But it is easy when you depend completely and totally on God. We will go through, because Scripture says in this life we will suffer persecution. But he made us priests, kings and priests, a royal priesthood. So now we can come into the Holy of Holies through Christ, anointed and sprinkled and baptized in the Holy Spirit, walking into the presence of the Most High God. So we all can be in the presence of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. I encourage you, do more study about this subject. I am studying and meditating, and God is even working with me even more on it. But we will do it at a later time and revisit it. Father God, in the mighty name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you for this time and this moment and this opportunity that you have given unto us, this time of teaching. Thank you, Lord, for opening our eyes of understanding even more and showing us even more things that has to do with you, Lord Jesus. For, Lord, we lift you up in all things. It's all about you, Lord Jesus. No matter what we do, no matter where we go, no matter who we talk to, no matter what assignment you give us, it is all about giving you glory and showing forth your love. Abba. And us seeing how you loved us so much before we were even born. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for your sacrifice. We honor you. We glorify you and we magnify your name. For there is no one like you, and there is none beside you. And we do all things for your glory and for your glory alone. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. May the Lord continue to bless us. May the Lord continue to keep us. May the Lord continue to make his beautiful face shine upon us. May the Lord continue to be gracious upon us. And may he continue to lift his countenance and turn his face toward us. And may he continue to give us his peace, his shalom, divine peace. And not just his peace, but himself. And may he continue to open our eyes and ears of understanding spiritual things as we are filled with the fullness of him. The fullness of him that filleth all in all, which is an eternal accomplishing. Amen. This is Minister Renee Ellis, also known as the Little One, putting you in remembrance of Psalm 21, verse 5. For in the day of trouble, he will hide me in his shelter. In the secret place of his tent will he hide me. He will set me high upon a rock. God bless you.